Heavenly Father, as we come to your word as your people, forgiven in Christ, we pray that you'd make us wise to live in a way that honours our Lord and honours our Saviour Christ, who you gave for us. Amen. Well, friends, this is wrapping up today our 7 or so weeks in the book of Proverbs, the goal of which, as a church coming back to Proverbs every couple of years, is that you would be visibly growing in wisdom, that you'd be wiser now than you were 6 or 7 weeks ago. And today's theme from the book of Proverbs is the theme of money and wealth. In fact, if you have any issues in life, you'll probably find, topically, you'll find it in the book of Proverbs if you search it out. And today's topic is money. And I'm not going to be so bold or super religious to say that money doesn't matter. I'd be an idiot to try and say something like that in the name of being spiritual. Money does matter, doesn't it? Anyone who says otherwise is a fool. But the way money matters is very different between the wise and the foolish. The way money matters to those who fear God and have God at the center will be very different from the way money matters to those who don't know God and don't live for God. Remember, the foundation principle of wisdom from the Bible is the fear of the Lord, a relationship with God as Saviour and King. You know, if we let Jesus be the controlling centre of our hearts and our lives, that cannot but affect our spending. And surely it will give us a freedom and a power over the allure of wealth that others don't have. Proverbs says, "Rich and poor have this in common, the Lord is the maker of them all." The rich and the poor owe their very existence to God, and therefore those who know God ought to have a different attitude to riches and poverty. I remember as a kid watching, there's a great Chuck Jones, you know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and those guys, Elmer Fudd. Very great cartoon, the Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, where Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck find the cave full of gold, and Daffy Duck kind of pushes out Bugs Bunny, and he's diving around in this whole cavern, this big, full of coins, and swimming in it, and then he comes out from swimming, and he says, "I'm moderately well off." And I think that's very timely. It's a very Aussie attitude. And as he's swimming in the all this gold, the Chuck Jones cartoons have these great orchestral scores, and the tune they're playing is the tune "We're in the Money." Do you know the tune? It's from an old Ginger Jones Rogers. Thank you. The old black and white classic that came out during the Great Depression. And, you know, people it was a popular movie because no one had money and it was dreaming of getting rich quick. Very telling, isn't it, that people would describe themselves as being in the money. It's actually the way the New Testament describes a Christian. You are in the Messiah. You are in Christ. You know, who you are, friends, is not your bank balance. Who you are is your relationship with Christ. That defines you, not how much wealth you have. But you've still got to eat, you've still got to have a home, you still work, and so we need to be wise with our money, even though it doesn't define us. And here you'll find, like most topics, the Bible is very realistic and Proverbs is very realistic. Money makes a difference, says Proverbs. For example, in chapter 10, "The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor." That would make a very good slogan for a superannuation company. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. That's basically an observation about the world, not necessarily commending that, but it's an observation. Similarly, it says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Money gives you power in just the way the world works. Money gives you power. And if you're poor, then you're a servant or even a slave to those who are rich. Again, this is not commending it as an ideal necessarily, but just Proverbs is empirical. It just observes how the world works. One more, a little example of this. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. So maybe we could modernise it and say, you know, if you're rich, you'll have more Facebook friends. And if you're poor, you will not have, everyone will unfriend you. Again, is that commending that? No, it's just saying wealth opens doors. Wealth has a short-term power. There's even a couple of proverbs talking about the power of bribes. This actually reminded me of visiting Egypt, and our tour guide was constantly giving coins to everyone near the pyramids. Just got us through the day quicker. And otherwise, you know, the people try and hassle you. Proverbs says, a bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. It's acknowledging that to some extent, being able to money your way out of things kind of works for a season. Another example from chapter 21, a gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. You know, there are other proverbs actually condemning bribery, but these proverbs are just observing that people with money get doors open for them and they get ahead. And it's just wealth. It's what wealth does. It's one of the privileges of wealth. Now, the fool would stop reading right there and say, great, let's get that power. Let's get that influence. The fool would let that capture their heart and think, that's all there is to know about money. It opens doors. It gives me security. That's all I need to know. I'm going to live for money. But of course, Proverbs, that's just a minority theme in Proverbs. There are broader themes as well. And let me share some of them with you. Firstly, Proverbs gives us advice on how to get rich. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs encourages you to work hard and honestly and diligently and build wealth. And that's a good thing. You know, in the ancient world, there was no welfare, so it was live or die based on how hard you worked. But Proverbs encourages that in God's world, it is often rewarded. Another good proverb that we had read earlier, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. That's a really good verse to put on your computer or somewhere around your workplace. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. God is with you in the workplace, and he sees, you know, you bear his name in the workplace. And what does it say when you cut corners? When you are unethical and you bend the rules to get ahead in business, God is not impressed. In fact, God is grieved. He abhors that. He hates that. But he's delighted when in your business you're honest. It's an act of worship to be an honest, diligent, hard-working businessman. And so please don't cut corners, especially using God as an excuse. You know, I'm doing it for the family. I'm doing it so I can give more to Christian causes. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. And then there's this theme in Proverbs about the get-rich-quick scheme. These have been around as long as there have been money. And so this is what Proverbs says. He who works his land will have abundant food. Good. But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. That's from chapter 12. There's a similar one later on. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. It's saying wealth has this allure and attraction, and wicked people create schemes to exploit the fools around. You know, the Bible says, work the land. Work the land. That is, whatever you do in your work, produce something of value, either as a good or a service. But it has to be actually contributing something to society. But many people create these fantasies, don't they? It could be a lottery system, or a pyramid, or a ladder system, a scheme. We've all heard of Ponzi schemes. You can Google those. Or you ever had someone come and say, I've got this great investment. There's this, my cousin or something knows about this diamond mine in Zambia, and the government doesn't know about it, and we just need your 10 grand, and we'll give you 10 times that in 2 years. Have you had those come across your desk? You know, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. He's a fool. He lacks wisdom. The biblical way to get rich goes like this. Chapter 13, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Isn't that nice? That's just how you do it. You just work hard and you live within your means, and little by little you gather, and it grows. If you fear God and are wise, you should not be thinking, how can I make the most money for the least amount of work? That's not in accord with the way God has made the world. God has made the world so that if you work hard and are careful and are diligent and faithful, then that is how you gain wealth. You see, do you pick up, friends, how Proverbs is not saying, as some people say, it's a sin to be wealthy? It's actually, Proverbs pictures some wealth as a blessing from God. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. That's a sure sign of being rich. But a foolish man devours all he has. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honour. And so there's a place in God's creation, loving God and working hard for him to bless you. And that's a good thing. It's not an end in itself. And we'll learn later about some of the implications of it, but it's not automatically wrong. It's not automatically a sin if God has blessed you. So what's the catch? Well, let me give you some of the buts. Proverbs, there are many proverbs about the trouble of wealth, the trouble of being rich. And wealth can bring trouble. You know, if you notice, greedy people are always anxious, they're always stressed, they're always checking the balances, they're always jealous and embittered when others have more. You know, the family of greedy people feel unloved and uncared for. And Proverbs talks about this. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. Saying, you know, a greedy person ends up just hurting his family, even though he might be doing it for his family. He's cutting corners, and it always catches up with you. It always catches up with you. You know, people talk about the power of investing financially, of compound interest, that it compounds and grows quicker than you imagine. Well, Proverbs would warn us that dishonesty works like that as well. A little lie will lead to a kind of another lie to cover that, and another one, and they will snowball till eventually, you know, they compound into bigger and bigger frauds, and it always catches up with you. And so don't think that getting rich quick is sweet. Here's a nice one. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouth full of gravel. Have you had a mud pie recently? It's not very nice. Not even very nice if you don't wash the salad very well and you can taste a little fragment of dirt in it. Well, imagine a mouthful of gravel. You know, wealth gained dishonestly will seem sweet, but will end up blowing up in our face, is what it's saying. If you let the desire for wealth squeeze God out of the centre of your heart's passion, then it only has a destructive power. It means trouble for your family, gravel in your mouth. You know, it's the love of money, isn't it? Not money, the love of money. And it can divide husbands and wives. It divides parents and children. I'm sure you've seen it happen. It divides lifelong friends. Friendships are just lost and shipwrecked because of disputes about money and greed. And you know, Proverbs says, earlier I quoted how money gives some security, but actually Proverbs questions that at the same time. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man, he is no threat. That is, you may think, I can get rich because it will help me if I get into trouble, but it may be that your troubles come because you are rich. And if you were poor, you would actually have less to worry about. The poor man, he is no threat. Let the wise observe and learn. And again, friends, is a major branch through Proverbs, compelling us to see that wisdom is better than wealth. It's always saying wisdom is better than wealth. She's worth more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. It's sort of ironic because it's saying pursue wisdom, not riches, but with wisdom come all sorts of blessings, including what you're searching for. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because if wisdom is a relationship with God, to know the creator of the universe has to be more valuable than owning a subset of the universe. And, well, we'll see more when it comes to eternity in a moment. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honour you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendour. That's Proverbs 4, anticipating Jesus' words. You can't serve two masters. Although here it's like two wives. You can't serve two women. You know, you've got to love wisdom or you're going to love money, but you can't love both. But if you embrace wisdom and are generous with your money, then you'll be blessed. Friends, are you letting your pursuit and passion for God grow greater than your pursuit and passion for money or stuff? That's the question we've got to ask. Because ultimately, only safety is found in God, in wisdom. And although I read earlier the one proverb that talks about wealth as a fortified city, there are many that bring that into perspective, like chapter 11, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Look at the garden thriving behind me. Look at how green it is. That is what the wise are like, not the rich. Whoever trusts in their riches will fall, will wither. Or another one, ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. Of what value is your stuff in the face of death? Not much. But a relationship with God in Christ, righteousness saves you from death, delivers you into eternity. And sounding like the one I read earlier from chapter 10, the wealth of their rich is their fortified city, but this proverb takes it another direction. They imagine it an unscalable wall. So it's sort of saying, ultimately, the security that you seem to have in wealth is a fantasy. And I think we know that, we see that. It's easy to have a global financial crisis. It could be another one any day. You could lose all your investments or a bubble that bursts or a dodgy accountant who runs away with everything or termites in the house. I mean, there's just endless ways in a fallen world for your wealth to, as it said, fly away. It's not secure, but wisdom is. So blessed is the man who finds wisdom, who gains understanding. She is more profitable than silver. She yields better returns than gold. See the financial language, financial metaphor? There's a better return on the investment of growing in godliness and wisdom than in focusing on wealth. And if you think of eternity, wealth is worthless on the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So friends, don't listen to Everything you read in the marketing of the investment companies, they always use images of security and nest eggs. Is it really that secure going into eternity? I'm not even sure it's that secure in this life. Well, if the ultimate end of life is knowing God in Christ and not money, what is your money for? Well, Proverbs says money is a very good tool to give honour to someone else. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So you have this tool, you all have money. Who are you using it to honour? It's an honour tool, an honour instrument. Is it just there to honour you? Or is it there to honour other people and there to honour God? It's not enough, Proverbs says, to give God the remainder. The test of where your heart is can you give God the first fruits? Can you give sacrificially that you feel it and it hurts a little bit, it stings what you give. It shows where your treasure is. One man gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. Have you had that experience? It's a wonderful experience, spiritual experience, to give so generously that you actually miss out on things. And then you find, but ultimately God provides and gives you more than you had in the first place. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. All these proverbs picture money as something that's meant to flow through us, not just flow to us. You are meant to use the money that comes to you to go through you to bless others and honour God. And especially Proverbs says, remember the poor. Remember the poor. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will one day cry out and not be answered. But a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. See, Proverbs pictures a society where there's not a kind of a huge taxation, then the government kind of evens it all out. It pictures a freer kind of society, but where God's beloved people are generous with what they have and what they own, and it passes through them to the poor. May it be so with us. Let's come back to let's draw this together and come back to the proverb that I shared with the kids earlier. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. It's not saying sell everything and become a monk and live in a cave. Just saying have the wisdom to show restraint. Don't burn yourself out. Don't kill yourself trying to get rich when that's not the purpose of life. Cast but a glance at riches. Don't spend too long in those catalogues, you know, dreaming, or those magazines of the rich and famous. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. You know, the purpose of us doing this study, friends, is for your joy and spiritual health. Many people are drained and sapped of life because of their, biblically speaking, exaggerated passion for money. Wealth is a blessing, but it's not meant to consume you. It's not meant to take you over. Cast but a glance at riches. Remember, friends, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. If you have God, you can be content. If you have Christ, if you have the forgiveness and promises of the gospel, if you know that you're going to eternal life, you know that you are going, I mean, you will all be exorbitantly rich in the new creation. There'll be no injustice, there'll be only abundance, and that is your future, that is your eternity. Let go of the grip of greed today. Cast it out. Greed is an idol that overpromises and underdelivers, but wisdom gives you life. God-fearing gives you security, gives you the well-being that you crave. Channel, Proverbs says, just channel your passion for well-being and wealth and security into God and let him take care of you. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Friends, may knowing Jesus trump all else in your hearts. And may you train your hearts in the way of wisdom through generous giving, through honouring God with your wealth. May you train your heart to be wise. Let's pray. Our God and Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for its practical and challenging advice. We thank you for its realistic attitude and its honesty about the world. Please, we pray that you would change us from the inside out and make us a generous people with the first fruits of all that we have, that we may experience your blessing and may experience more knowledge of you as we cast ourselves dependently on your provision. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.